You may be seated and join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The first scripture reading today is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient along the way, and they began to murmur against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this wretched manna." The second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Dear brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who eagerly look for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen. You too must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. For look, the great judge is coming. He is standing at the door. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Job is an example of a man who endured patiently. From his experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So there was a young Christian who went to see a more seasoned Christian for help. The young Christian asked, "Will you please pray for me that I might be more patient?" And so they knelt together, and the older man began to pray, "Lord, send this young man a problem in the morning. Send this young man a problem in the afternoon. And send this young man," and at this point, the young Christian blurted out, no, I did not ask you to pray for problems. I wanted you to pray for patience." And the wise old Christian responded, "Young man, it's through your problems that you learn patience." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we continue in the series on the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we're using that orange as our image, that wrapped up peel that's love that just holds it and binds it all together. But as we peel it away, there's those sections. And love is infused in all of the sections because it is central. Now remember that love we talked about a few weeks ago? That's agape love, divine love. It's not a feeling. You know, I started thinking about that this week, and I said that to somebody, and then this 1968 B.J. Thomas song started going through my head. Ooh, I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm so high on believing that you're in love with me. You know, so I hate it when you get a song in your head. But anyway, that's the one that was in my head, because that's what we think about love, that it's some ooey-gooey feeling, and that is one aspect of love. But the love that we're talking about, that divine love, is one of intention, of action, of choice. It's loving the enemy, choosing kindness, choosing to be patient. We see a weaving of all of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit as we practice love. And so I'm wondering, how are you doing with your homework? Are you still practicing love on someone you find difficult to love? I might give you a little few hints today about patience. Hope so, anyway. So then we had joy. Remember, joy is not happiness, because happiness is based on what happens to us. So remember, joy is found as we abide in Christ and do as Christ did. Obey God's will, serve others. And remember that our present troubles are nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in Jesus Christ. Then last week we had peace. Now remember whose peace we have? Jesus's peace. My peace, he said, not the world's peace, but his peace. A peace that is found as we acknowledge that Jesus is our peace offering. He is the one that makes us right with God. And as we embrace that truth, we find peace within ourselves, that guilt, that shame, that regret. And as we find peace within ourselves, then we can be at peace with others. Now, today is patience. So what is patience? Well, here are some definitions of patience. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against the wrong. So in other words, a patient person will not say or have the bumper sticker that reads, "I don't get mad, I get even." A patient person does not hastily retaliate. Patience is also the ability to accept delay and disappointment graciously. I don't do well at that one. Patience is also the powerful attribute that enables a person to remain steadfast under strain and continue to press on. That person might be the one that says, "This too shall pass." And then lastly, patience is calm endurance based on a certain knowledge that God is in control. So as we begin this morning, what causes you to be impatient? Here's a few of mine. Drivers that go under the speed limit. Life's little annoyances like a malfunctioning computer, billing mix-ups, leaking faucets, and being forever on hold or pushing those endless buttons that say, if you want this, go to that, and maybe you finally get a person. You know, those little annoyances. But you know, there's some other things too, and I'll share them in a bit. So for just for a moment, this is congregational participation. Just blurt out what makes you impatient. What things make you impatient? Oh.
Standing in the aisles
at Fry's. Drivers. Come on, you guys aren't all patient, are you? No. Yeah, when people don't show up, cell phones. Okay, see, we've got some ones out there. We've got lots of those. Most of them we think of right away are the little annoyances, right? Telemarketers. I think I heard that one out there. There's a lot of things that can press our impatience button. So patience is difficult. Would you agree with that? Yes. So why are we so impatient? So here's some reasons. We are not naturally patient. Have you ever thought about the fact we're not born patient? When a baby wakes up from a nap and she's hungry and her diaper is wet and she wants attention, she does not sit there and think to herself, "I know mom and dad are so busy, I will wait for a more convenient time." No, she wants attention, she wants it now, and she won't stop crying till she gets it. Now, children aren't patient either. How many of you have traveled with a child? There was a little four-year-old boy who was traveling with his mother and constantly asking the same question over and over. When are we going to get there? And finally, the mother got so irritated, she said, we still have 90 more miles to go, so don't ask me again how long it's going to be till we get there. Well, the boy was silent for a long time, and then he timidly asked, "Mom, will I still be four when we get there?" We are not naturally patient. We also do not live in a patient culture. Calvin and Hobbes in a comic strip, it pictures the father sitting at a computer saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, it was considered a rush job, and he would be lucky to get it. Now with modems and faxes and car phones, everybody wants everything instantly. About that time, Calvin walks through holding a microwave dinner, reading the instructions, and it says, it takes 6 minutes to microwave this. Who has that kind of time? Now, granted, that is a really old comic strip, because who uses faxes, modems, and car phones? But we still live in a fast-paced, fast-food, high-speed internet, Jiffy Lube, express lane culture. So our natural tendencies and our culture contribute to another aspect of our impatience, and that's our attitudes. So here's two to think about. First is selfishness. We see this in the story that David read this morning from the book of Numbers. It tells us that the Israelites had been taken out into the wilderness, and they're traveling, and God is providing for them, and then all of a sudden, they start speaking out against God and Moses. This is what they say. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and what? We detest this miserable manna. Whoa. God had provided for their daily needs, had given them daily manna for food, and they found it miserable. God had a wonderful future planned for them, but it was just not happening fast enough. And so instead of patiently waiting, they grumbled and complained even at God's provision. So we can be consumed by our own wants and desires and plans and schedules, and when they're not happening fast enough, we can become impatient and even complain and forget all that God has already done for us. Then the second one is pride. Any other control freaks in the room? Type A personalities? When I worked at the law firm, I used to work lots of hours. I'd come in early, go home late, work on the weekends, because only I could do the project right. Faster, better, stronger, everything. And I wouldn't delegate because I could do it better. Are there others like that in here? Uh-huh. Now, maybe you were like me. Did that make you resentful towards your workmates? Maybe even a little impatient with them? You know, it's an easy trap to fall into when it's my way or the highway. And we can even act that way towards God and become impatient with Him. So what do we do about being impatient? What about patience? Well, the first thing we need to remember, it is a fruit of what? Spirit. For those of us who have received Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit in our lives, patience is a gift. It's already there. Believe me, it's there. But it might be really deep, and it might need a little cultivating to mature and become a full fruit. So how do we cultivate? Well, like love, joy, and peace, we have to abide in Christ. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If one abides in me, I will abide in him, and he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to abide in Christ, the spiritual disciplines of our faith, so that we are nourished. Prayer, daily devotions, worship, study, service, and Christian fellowship. All of these will work on cultivating the seed of patience in our lives. But there are some other things that we can practice and do. We can slow down. We don't have to participate in our fast-paced culture. We can enjoy the simple pleasures to read and go for walks and spend time with family. And we can even apply that same practice when we're dealing with problems and difficult people. My colleague, Sharon Ragland, I worked with her in Tucson for a year. It was a wonderful year as her associate. She's a very wise woman. And two things she taught me, I'll share the second one in a moment. But the first one was this, is to take your time. It's the grace of time. When she faced a difficult person or a difficult situation, she didn't always feel like she just had to deal with the situation right away. She'd ask for the time to go and pray and give thought to how she wanted to handle the situation or the conflict or whatever was happening. So we don't have to be impulsive or hasty. Remember that first definition of patience is not acting impulsively or hastily. James would agree when he says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. So we can take time. Slow down. Now another thing is to laugh, to find fun in the frustration. I normally take myself pretty seriously, so I have been very pleased to find the gift of being able to laugh at my mistakes. But you know, I can remember once when my dad and family were traveling. My dad never could sleep the night before we traveled, and one day he decided to get us up at 2:30 in the morning to hit the road because he just couldn't sleep. He was impatient. Well, then he got impatient with all of us because we were too slow to get going. And then when we did get going and we were in the car, we were kind of cranky. And then the dog got sick in the car and we had to stop at the gas station. And so my mom and I cleaned the dog in the car and the toys, my dog's toys, and Dad filled up the tank. And he was surly. So I come out of the bathroom with my dog's squeaky toy and I just walked up and went, squeaky clean, right in his ear, and he laughed. Oh, that was, it made for a better trip. And then once I was rear-ended, oh my gosh, that was a riot. It's not fun to be rear-ended, it really isn't. But this lady felt so bad. Her husband had rear-ended somebody the day before in the same car, and she was taking it to the repair place. And her drink had dropped, and so she had reached down to grab her drink, and she ran into me. And so she's very apologetic, and she gets out. We call the police. We wait for 45 minutes. By the time the police arrived, we were sitting on the bench at the bus stop laughing and joking. And the police officer kind of went, I don't think he was used to seeing people who had been in an accident actually having fun. So we need to have fun. We need to laugh because nothing diffuses tension and problems more than when we can find laughter and humor. So we slow down and we laugh. Now, some others are a matter of our perspective, and I have three of those I'd like to share. So the first one's when we deal with people, when we get impatient with people. And I turn to Matthew chapter 18. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And Jesus here is tying patience and unforgiveness very close together, the idea of patience and forgiveness. And so this servant was in debt to his master for a whole bunch of money, and the master called the debt due. And the servant says, have patience with me. I will repay it. And the master had such compassion that he forgave the debt. The servant leaves and comes upon another servant, a fellow servant, grabs him by the throat and says, pay up. This servant owed a much smaller debt. And the other servant says to his fellow servant, have patience with me, and I will repay the debt. But that servant did not show patience. Instead, he threw his fellow servant into prison. When the master finds out, the master said, you wicked servant, I forgave you the debt you had, as you begged me to do, should you have not had the same compassion on your fellow servant. Scripture over and over tells us that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In other words, God has a really long fuse. God does not deal with us as we deserve. God is patient by nature. We like it when God is patient with us and when others are patient with us, yes. But we're not always patient with others. So we need to keep our perspective, which leads me to the other thing that Sharon taught me. She said, always ask yourself the question, what is the most loving thing to do or say? Again, love and patience are hooked together because it's important for us to remember that when we're impatient with someone, it's not that person's fault. It's our reaction to that person. And that everyone else is going through something too, and so that should foster us to be loving and patient. And that when we remember that we push people's buttons sometimes too, and they are patient with us, should we not be patient to others? So we keep perspective. I'm human, you're human, and we all make mistakes. The second thing to keep in perspective is don't sweat the small stuff. Now, believe me when I say I'm preaching to myself on this one, because I like to sweat the small stuff, because it's the small stuff that get under my skin. And you know what I found out why? Those little small things I mentioned earlier, they're interruptions. They get in and mess up my time schedule. So I get tied up on hold, or I'm waiting for that repairman for that long, you know, 5-hour span they give you. Or the long lines in the grocery store, or the long lines, or long waits at the doctor's office. The one thing I've learned to deal with that, to be more patient, is redeem the time. If you're stuck in line with a long line, talk to the people around you. If you're in the doctor's office, if you don't have something to read or do, look around and say a quiet prayer for every person that's sitting in there. Redeem the time. Find ways to occupy that time. When I'm on hold, I find another project to do. When I'm waiting for the repairman, I read. If I've got a computer that's not working, I find something else. Redeem the time. Then we don't focus on the little things so much. And the last thing, the big stuff. What do we do when the situations and problems we have and are facing are complicated, deeply emotional, or unexplainable? In chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are caught between a rock and a hard place. They've just left Egypt, and they've got the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh and the Egyptian army behind them. And what do they do? What they always do. They complained. Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You led us all the way out of here into this desert to die. They complained to Moses. And Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The song we sung this morning, Be Still My Soul. When everything going around us seems to be spinning, it's time to turn to the Lord and be still. Because remember that fourth definition of patience. Patience is the calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. There's a story of an artist who went to visit a friend, and when she had arrived, her friend was weeping. A handkerchief that had great sentimental value had been ruined by a spot of indelible ink. And the artist asked her friend if she could have the handkerchief. And so a few days later, the handkerchief was returned by mail. And when the owner opened the package, she could hardly believe her eyes. The artist had used that ink blot, and from it as a base had drawn in indelible ink the most beautiful design. That's the way it is when we wait patiently for God. He takes the pain, the hurt, the frustrations, everything, those spots in our lives, and he builds something beautiful, something of healing and help and hope and beauty. Cultivating patience comes as we abide in Christ, as we slow down, as we laugh, and we keep that perspective that we're all human, that we can redeem the time and not sweat the small stuff, and above all, trust in God with the big stuff. Patience is difficult, yes? Fact is, problems are going to happen this side of heaven. People will push our buttons. Little things will interrupt our schedules and our plans, and situations will arise that keep us between a rock and a hard place. And we can let all those people and situations control us, or we can control them with patience. So the question then comes, and I had someone ask me this a few years ago, is it really okay to pray for patience? And I'm thinking, what better thing to pray for, really? Now, you may not want to pray, give me a problem in the morning, give me a problem in the afternoon, or give me a problem in the evening. And frankly, we don't have to pray for problems because they do find us. But we can do another approach. I call them the breath prayer. Sometimes it's a scripture. When we find ourselves getting agitated, you can say, be still and know that I'm God. Or find another prayer that works for you. I like this. A father was doing the grocery shopping with his young son who was in the shopping cart. The child was obviously unhappy and was letting his unhappiness be known. And the father said, patience, Albert, patience, Albert. Finally, all the items on the shopping list were in the cart, and the father made his way to the checkout line. All the checkout lines were 2 to 3 deep, and so they had to wait. And the child still was screaming and crying, and the father repeated over and over, patience, Albert, patience, Albert. A woman who was in line behind the father and son leaned forward and said, sir, let me commend you for your patience with baby Albert. To which the man replied, oh, thank you, but I'm Albert. James reminds us that patience is that seed that's cultivated in our spirit that needs to be cultivated, that we slow down, abide in Christ, laugh a lot, keep perspective, and maybe we too need to pray patience. Insert your own name. Thanks be to God. Amen.